How's everybody today? Oh, that's terrible. We're in the house of God. Oh, my goodness gracious. Oh. Matthew chapter 11. Let's pray. Father, in the precious, precious name of Jesus, we're so grateful for your word. We thank you for your presence, Father God. Lord, I pray today that we would have ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to us as a church, what the Spirit of God is saying us to individually for our lives, for our families. Lord, I just thank you for moving on our behalf and showing us truths, Father God, that will set us free. Lord, I thank you for it and I praise you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. If you were here last Sunday, we talked about having a joyful salvation. And I have found that there are so many Christians who do not enjoy the salvation that God has given them. Psalms 52:12, David said, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." When we got saved, we didn't know all the do's and don'ts. We just knew we missed hell and made heaven, and we were happy. And then somebody came along and messed it all up. God truly wants us to enjoy our Christian life. But I'm going to tell you something that I have found, and it is a word that the Lord has begun all across the world, not just in the United States, but something God is trying to bring the body of Christ back to. And it is so counterculture. I'm going to create waves just in speaking it, but I'm right. So I'm going to keep speaking it. And it is the word Sabbath. Sabbath rest, to be precise. God is trying to bring the body back to a Sabbath rest. It is amazing to me. It's the fourth commandment. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. But we have forgot the Sabbath day. We have forgot the gift of Sabbath. We have forgot God's intention for Sabbath. And I want to just share with you, again, I want to challenge. If I'm not challenging, I don't feel like I'm doing what God's called me to do. But I want to read to you from the Message Bible, Matthew chapter 11. We're going to start in verse 28. I'm going to ask you to answer. No, don't answer. I'll answer it for you. It's better that way. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? The answer is yes. When I look at the body of Christ, we are exhausted, if anything. And a lot of people have taken an already full plate and just tried to add Jesus to it instead of realizing Jesus is the plate. Are you tired? Yes. Are you worn out? Yes. Are you burned out on religion? Do you know you can be religious and worship a snake? If Jesus was hard on anybody in the New Testament, it was the religious folks who painted a picture of God that was different than what God is actually like. Listen to what he says. It's a beautiful, beautiful invitation. Are you tired? Are you worn out, burned out in religion? Jesus says, "Come to me. Get away with me, and you'll recover your life." You know, God came to give you life, and that life more abundantly. We should be the happiest people on the planet. Yes, most Christians look like they're sucking prunes. It's terrible. I would not want to go to the church if that's what Christianity did to me. I am so grateful for a God who gave me life and an appreciation for life. And I love my Christian life, and I want other people to love their Christian life the same way. Listen to the intimacy. Come, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. Write this down in your notes. I'll show you how to take a real rest. I want to talk about rest. I'll show you how to take a real rest. That indicates there's a thing like a false rest. And a lot of the body of Christ is walking around exhausted because they haven't found the real rest. And then he tells us how to get there. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Write it down in your notes. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn how to live freely and lightly. Is that not beautiful? I won't lay anything ill-fitting on you. I won't put anything heavy on you. Come get away with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. Can I tell you something? All creation naturally walks in the unforced rhythms of grace. There is only one creature on the planet who fights against the unforced rhythms of grace. Can you guess who they are? Humans! Humans! You do not have to teach a dog to sleep. You have to teach a dog to work. Animals naturally flow into a rhythm of grace. All creation rests. Everything has this unforced rhythm of rest and grace. Even the earth itself rests. We call it winter. But it is the earth resting so that it can produce when it comes time to bear fruit. Only you and I, and I'm going to poke at you, but I'm right, so I want to keep poking. We had to invent machines to keep up with our pace because animals won't work as hard as we do. Animals have to rest, and we know it. So we created tractors because the horses and the mules got tired. But a tractor could go as long as you could put gas in it. We started lights because we used to sleep when it got dark. And we would go in and spend time with our family, and we would talk and fellowship. And now we work through the night. All creation rests. Only you and I fight the unforced rhythms of grace. You and I have to take energy drinks to keep up with our own self-imposed pace. Yeah, you got it. Give me another drink. We are going, squirrel. Now, you may not be hooked on monster drinks, but if you have to have two cups of coffee to be friendly, you're an addict. Yeah, I got you there. We are going so fast that we don't even realize how fast we are going. We don't have time to keep up with ourselves. I'm looking at the body of Christ, and God does a miracle for us last week, and we're already worried about next week. We don't have time to enjoy the presence of the Lord. Can I tell you? I know when people are walking with Jesus. And one of the ways I know people are walking with Jesus is because their pace is slower, because Jesus is not in a hurry. Jesus walked in divine health and life, and wherever he went, he changed and transformed life. And he wasn't in a hurry. We are in such a hurry that we miss the opportunities in front of us to see lives transformed by Jesus. We do not have time to pay attention to what's going on. I don't know if I shared the story here. I tried to share it often enough that people get the grasp of Walmart owes me an office. Because I do as much ministry at Walmart as I do at the church. Because people, that's where they gather. And you don't have to be a rocket scientist to see needs. Now, some of you are not going to get this. I'm going to ask you to Google it. But I was at Walmart, it's been a while now, but a lady was walking through, and her makeup, she'd been crying so long, her makeup had dropped down. It looked like black tears. She looked like a female Alice Cooper. Google it. You'll get the picture. And you don't have to be a rocket scientist to see that. And so I just went up to her. I said, ma'am, I know you don't know me, but it's obvious you've been crying. Is there something I could pray about? And she just lit up that somebody would ask. And she began to tell me her story. It was a horrendous story. I had no easy fix for her answers, but I had the fix. Yes. All we need is to realize we need to offer what we have, because what we have is enough. Jesus is enough. So I told her, I said, can I pray for you? And she said to me, right here? Yeah, this is where we are. Can I pray? Yes. So right there in the fruits and vegetables, I prayed. And Jesus showed up. And not a single thing had changed in her life except somebody said, I care enough to pay attention. Can we slow down enough to look at the needs that are surrounding us? God will always give you opportunities. But I'm going to tell you something. With every opportunity, there will always be an opposition. She was like, right here in Walmart? Yeah, God rules in Walmart too. I don't know if you know that, but he does. Wherever your feet trod, God rules. And so we have to slow down and we have to learn. There's a lot of things you can learn in the kingdom of God, but you need to learn the unforced rhythms of grace. You need to learn to slow down that God had intended for you and I to really enjoy. And we're going so fast, we can't even enjoy the moment. Jesus was always present. That's what rest looks like, is that you can be fully engaged right now with this person. That it's not, well, I got someplace to go. You'll always have someplace to go. Yes, thank you. Your check is in the mail. It's small, but. The cross is a filter. And some things of the Old Testament stayed in the Old Testament, and some things went through the cross and stayed. Sabbath rest was one of those that stayed. Yes, it's an Old Testament concept, but Mark chapter 2, look it up. Mark chapter 2, I think it's verse 28. Jesus said that he was Lord of the Sabbath. And then he said an amazing thing. He said, the Sabbath was made for you, made for man, not man for the Sabbath. What he was saying is, our Sabbath was a gift for us. It was made for us. We weren't meant to serve it. It was meant to serve us. Now, I've got 8 hours worth of stuff. There's no way I can touch it all. What I want to leave you with, though, is this idea that we need to get back to learning the unforced rhythms of grace. We need to slow down so we can actually enjoy life, that we can enjoy the moment. Some of you are already worried about lunch. It's going to get here. I promise. Give me a few minutes. In Exodus chapter 31, we are told that the Sabbath rest, the day of rest, was a covenant sign between Israel and God. Now, we have forgotten there was a time when every nation on the planet worked 7 days a week. Nobody understood. Nobody had the concept of a day off. You worked every day all your life. And God said, I'm going to separate you from every other nation. I'm going to give you a sign that separates you from every other nation. One of those signs was a day of rest. Here's what you need to know. Sabbath is about rest. It is not necessarily about sleep. Has anybody besides me slept 7 or 8 hours and woke up exhausted? Yeah, all of us have. Why? Because you slept, but you didn't rest. Listen, rest is about trust. Rest is about God providing, that it is not about what you can do with your hands and your effort. It is about trusting God. God said, if you'll work 6 days, I will provide you enough that on the seventh you won't have to work. Rest was about trusting God's ability to meet our needs. And I will tell you, most of us have got away from Sabbath rest because we trust our own hands more than we trust the God of the universe. We heard about tithing today. Tithing's the start. We work so hard. You mean you want a tenth? No, he wants it all. He'll start with the tenth. You see how quiet it got? It does not belong to you. If you think it belongs to you, take it with you. Woo! Preaching mighty good, little preacher. Keep it up. You are stewards, and God wants you to be able to give so you can receive. You know, you started out this life not giving. You started out receiving. The first thing you did on this planet was receive. The doctor smacked you on the butt, and you went, and then you let it all out. But you had to receive before you could give. We are supposed to receive on Sabbath so that we can give to a world that is in desperate need of Jesus. Desperate need of slowing down. Now, I think I said this last week, but I'm going to say it again because you probably didn't get it. We live in a world that's crushed the day. Get up before everybody else. Go to sleep after everybody else. You get out there and you hustle, dude. You crush the day. It's the early bird that gets the worm. But it's the early worm that gets eaten. Make sure you're the bird or sleep in. Sabbath was about trusting God's ability to meet our needs, God's ability to show up and do what we can't do on our own. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. Again, Matthew 11:28, he says, I'll show you how to take a real rest. Can I tell you, if you are walking with Jesus, if you are truly walking with Jesus, you will be forced to slow down because God is not in a hurry. Can I tell you something? Christians do this to me all the time. I'm not praying for patience. It doesn't matter whether you pray for it or not. God is wanting to work patience into your life. Okay. I got all day. You don't. So you might want to listen quicker. He says, count it all joy. James, count it all joy when you fall into various temptations. Knowing this, you have to know something. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience, and patience has her perfect work. Luke 21:19, in your patience possess ye your souls. One of the reasons God doesn't answer your prayer right away is because you'd leave as soon as you got it. Okay, don't say that and still. How many arguments could you have avoided if you'd have waited 30 seconds before you said that thing? How many bad decisions could you have changed if you'd have waited 5 minutes? In your patience, possess ye your souls. God is begging us to slow down so we can encounter Him. Most people's conversation with God is like a drive-by shooting. Hey, God, Whoa, God, I need. And why isn't God answer? He answered, but you didn't stick around long enough to hear it. Am I speaking to anybody yet? Yeah, I know I am. Thank you for being honest. Sabbath rest was about slowing down, getting rid of the fast-paced frenzy that our world has sucked us into so that we can actually encounter God in a very real way. And when we slow down, even in church, have you noticed how we don't even like silence in church? As soon as it gets silent, Brother Big Mouth has to open his mouth and say something because he's nervous that it got quiet. Well, God can do in 30 seconds of silence what would take me three lifetimes. God is pleading with us. I want to walk with you, but you're on a run. You're so far ahead of me, I have to yell just to get your attention. It's the fourth commandment. It wasn't even a suggestion. Did you get that? The commandments. We got to obey the commandments. Sabbath rest was a commandment. It wasn't a suggestion. Well, if you want to, go ahead and, you know, kind of chill out a little bit. God put 52 days a year in our rhythm. Do you understand the power of rhythm? Everything works better in rhythm. You can't eat a week's worth of food on Monday and then not eat the rest of the week and be healthy. You will be sicker than a dog Monday. You'll be starving by Tuesday. Have you ever said that? I'm so full I can't eat anymore ever again. And then the next day, guess what happens? There you are at the table. You can't eat all that food at one time and be healthy. You can't sleep a whole day and then not sleep the rest of the week and be healthy. It has to be done in rhythms. So many of us think a 10-day vacation is going to make up for 80-hour work weeks all week long. That's not rhythm. That's not rhythm. God loves us. I'm going to read this to you out of the message because it says it so plainly. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 21. This is God's message. Be careful if you care about your lives, not to desecrate the Sabbath by turning it into just another work day, lugging stuff here and there. Don't use the Sabbath to do business as usual. Keep the Sabbath day holy, separate, consecrated, as I commanded your ancestors. They never did it, as you know. They paid no attention to what I said and went about their own business, refusing to be guided or instructed by me. So, three things. There's a lot of things, but three things I want to leave you with that Sabbath rest should look like. First off, it should include rest. What brings you rest? What causes you to slow down? What causes you to trust God? But it also includes keeping it holy, separate from all the other 6 days. He said in Jeremiah, don't make it just business as usual. Sabbath rest, Sabbath should look different than your work day. Now, you don't get too many of them around here, but you get enough of them, you know what I'm talking about. Sabbath should feel like snow day. When the school says, it's a snow day. You weren't expecting it, but you got up and you heard on the radio or the TV, it's a snow day. Your school's been canceled. You go like, oh man, I was really wanting to go to school. No, you got all excited. I'm from Michigan. When they told us we had a snow day, it was the greatest because I was free to do whatever I chose to do, whatever brought me joy, whatever brought me life. Sometimes I slept in till 10. Sometimes I went out and played in the snow and rode the snowmobile and did different things with my family. Sabbath should be different than the rest of the days. But you know what Sunday has become for most of us? Business as usual. Trying to catch up on what we didn't get done throughout the week. And we wonder why we are exhausted. I don't know why I ask. I'm going to do it anyway. Can I tell you, you and I, we have to manage this tension between you are extremely valuable to the kingdom of God and lives being changed because of you sharing what Jesus has done in your life. The other side of that is it is not all about us. If you think you're that big of a deal, if you think you're that important, stick your finger in some water and pull it out and see how long it lasts. The hole won't last very long. I found out the hard way by thinking, if I died today, within 4 days, they'd have somebody at my desk doing what I do. Right? Nobody's irreplaceable. The world is trying to suck you into a mindset that's anti-kingdom. God is not in a hurry, and you shouldn't be either. And Sabbath should look different than every other day. It should be about what brings you joy. For some of you, that's sitting down reading a book. For others, that's like, gag me, read a book. Now I want to be outside fishing. Well, then go fishing. What brings you joy? What causes you to sense the presence of God is to be sanctified. Genesis chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. It's where God worked 6 days, and on the seventh, he rested, and it says he sanctified that day. He set it apart. We're to remember the Sabbath day to keep it separate, to keep it sanctified, so that it looks different than our work day. Third thing, Sabbath should include joy. Real joy. I will tell you something I found in the body of Christ. We have lots of messages on joy, but not very many people really experience it the way God intended for you to experience it. When you start looking through the scriptures at how important joy is to God, and joy is to your and my salvation, you'll start realizing we need it more than we think. Now, let me give you an example. Have you ever been with friends and you laugh so hard that your cheeks hurt? You laugh so hard that it's like, stop, stop. Have you ever walked away from that and went, oh God, I never want to do that again. That was terrible. No, there was life in that. You couldn't hardly wait to get back together again. The Bible says, Nehemiah 8:10, the joy of the Lord is our strength. You want to know how to have a strong marriage? Enjoy each other. Remember why you got married and go have fun. Now, we can't do it anymore because of injuries and things, but we used to go bowling. And when we first started bowling, I'm a guy. I had to win. And then I realized, we're not having any fun because it's all about me winning. So I started bowling backwards. That's fun. Because it's not about winning anymore. It's about having fun. Ginger and I were headed on a date a little while back, and it was like 106 outside. It was 7 or 8 in the evening. We're headed somewhere on the back roads, and I stop, and I see this sign that says, watch for ice. I'm just sitting there, truck's running, Ginger's looking at something, and finally she realizes we're stopped. Why are we stopped? The sign says to watch for ice. I'm watching. Smack me in the arm. Come on, we're going to be late. We know how to have fun. We have a great marriage because we enjoy each other's company. I've watched marriages fall apart over the toothpaste. He squeezes, she rolls in the end. And they have knockdown dragouts over the toothpaste. And so they're there to see me. And I say, wait. Okay, until I can help you get where you need to go, buy two tubes. Isn't hers? See the wisdom of that? God is so good. Scriptures says that joy does good like a medicine. Now, when do you take medicine? It's not a trick question. When do you take medicine? When you're sick. And yet, that's when the enemy tries to convince you it's the wrong emotion. Are you listening to me? Hebrews 12:2 says, we look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. No human on the planet ever suffered more than Jesus, physically, spiritually, emotionally, nobody. And the Bible says he got through it because of joy that was before him. The closest I can come to explaining that to you is when I know I'm going to get to see my grandkids, it doesn't matter what happens. I'm looking forward to seeing them so much, nothing can keep me from enjoying life and getting through whatever difficulty I got to get through because I'm going to get to be with my grandkids here in a minute. Right? Jesus saw us with him in heaven, and that joy allowed him to endure what he was going through. So here's what I want to do. I'm going to give you some practical things about Sabbath. This is going to light you up. You're going to shout me down. I mean, you're just going to get all excited. You're going to swing from the chandeliers. It's amazing. Sabbath should have elements that bring delight. Does it promote rest, relaxation, and peace? It should look like no other day. Here's some things to avoid. Money matters. Stay away from doing the bills on your Sabbath. It will not bring you rest. It will not bring you joy. Oh, you're going to love this because this is the day. Some of you need to stay away from sports. You lose your Christianity when your team loses the game, man. It's so sad. So sad. Man, if it gets you wound up like a $3 watch, watch something else, man. Go watch the grass grow and get some peace about you. Avoid your to-do list. Fold that thing up, put it in a book, and put it off to the side. Avoid, women are going to love this, avoid housework. I knew it! If you're going to enjoy Sabbath, you actually have to prepare the day before. That's where casseroles are made and those kind of things, so you don't have to cook on Sabbath. You can actually enjoy family, and you do those things ahead of time so you're not forced to do it on your Sabbath. Avoid multitasking. Can I tell you what multitasking is? Multitasking is a great way of failing at multiple things at the same time. That's what multitasking is. And here's the thing that I watch. When my grandkids are with me, we put the phones up, I put my phone away, because I want to be engaged with my grandkids. But I watch people who are with their kids and their grandkids, and they're looking at their phone, scrolling through their phone, and they're missing what's right in front of them. One of these days, those kids are going to be grown and gone, and you're going to miss those times. So avoid multitasking. Here's a good one, technology. Some of you, bless y'all's hearts. Where's my phone? When you go out to lunch with me, I will make you keep your phone in your truck or your office. Because if I'd have wanted that person to be a part of this conversation, I would have invited him. Three screens mess up humanity. Three screens. TV screen, phone, screen, windshield screen. Let me give you 8 words that are the foundation for Sabbath. Write them down. Remembering. Sabbath is about remembering what God has done for you. Rejoicing. Sabbath is about laughing with friends and family and enjoying the presence of the Lord. Sabbath is about rhythm, the unforced rhythms of grace. Obviously, Sabbath is about rest. Sabbath is about relationships. Remember those? I'm not talking about Facebook. I'm talking about actual relationships. Some of y'all think you got 800 friends. Ask them for money. You'll find how many friends you really have. Sabbath is about relationships. Sabbath is about receiving so that you can get filled up to pour out onto a world that desperately needs you. Sabbath is about release. It's about a letting go and realizing God will provide. And Sabbath is about refreshing. It's about breathing in the Spirit of God and exhaling all the worries and concerns and enjoying the presence of the Lord where God is saying to you, you are my beloved son or daughter in whom I am well pleased. Come, get away with me. I'll show you how to recover your life. Amen. 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 I'm done. I'm done.